Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
We're the Computer Guys here from Macintawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. It is Wednesday afternoon, 12:30 here. Be here for the next half hour till 1 o'clock here. We'd love to have you give us a call, 395-1450, because we'd like to find out what type of problems you're having with your computer or technology-related device, and hopefully we could give you a hand with that. But, of course, if you'd rather not give a call and you'd rather send us an email, you're welcome to do that.
That's right. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So, you know, if you're at your computer, your BlackBerry, your iPhone, whatever it may be, any kind of email device, again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kev. Speaking of iPods, you can always subscribe to our podcast. It's a free download through the iTunes Music Store. Just search for WHTC and you'll find us on there. Speaking of iPods, Kev, the new iPhone 3GS has been glowing pink.
Glowing pink meaning like it's burning up? That's what I heard.
Well, the Telegraph reports that dozens of users of the recently released iPhone 3GS have reported overheating issues, with some iPhone owners unable to pick up the device because the handset gets so hot to the touch, while others say the casing turns pink with the heat.
Wow.
I've
heard the pink about it. Wow.
I am definitely experiencing issues with the iPhone running warm and it quickly loses battery life, writes one user on a discussion board. The phone seems to warm up almost immediately if I am doing anything that pulls data over the network. Some users have said the device has been too hot to put in their ear to their ear while making a phone call. And others say the overheating seems to occur when owners are using the iPhone's mapping software, which uses the handset's built-in GPS technology.
I did hear that about the GPS. Now, see, that's a bit of a problem when it's a phone that's too hot to put to your ear.
Yeah, that's
then it kind of ceases to be a useful phone. So, you know, first and foremost, it is a phone, right?
Melissa Penderson writes at PC World, I became aware the handset had become very hot, very, very hot, not just on the back, but the entire length of the front face, too. Some gadget experts believe the faulty batteries could be the cause of overheating and poor battery life. My guess is there's going to be a whole lot of batteries affected because these iPhones are from the very large production runs. So it's probably going to be spread to tens of thousands of devices, or maybe more.
See what happens. I don't know if there hasn't been anything official said on it yet, but I'm sure we'll get to that when the time
comes. So it turns pink even. So it's kind of like getting a customized colored
iPhone. That's right. Except they're all
without
pink.
Having to buy the case.
That's true. Works out for you if you're into that.
So anyway, of course, anytime you have a new product, there's always going to be little things. So if you are one of the people who just purchased your new iPhone and it's turning hot, we'd like to hear about it. Or burning hot, I should say.
That's right.
Your phone ever have that, Kev?
No, it doesn't get burning hot.
Typically, that's not a good thing.
It gets there if I'm doing one thing. It does get warm, but it doesn't get really, really hot. So I've never had it overheat and shut down like that either. So, but that would be a problem. So if you're thinking about the iPhone 3GS, maybe wait until this gets
worked out. Or you just get the $99 one, the old 3G.
Yeah, which is not a problem. Or just get an ice pack with your 3GS and keep it on ice.
Or just use Bluetooth.
And there you go.
Also, Kev, we've got some other news stories here. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but recently, you've obviously heard about the whole election issues in Iran.
Yep.
But you may not have heard about the technology behind it, other than, of course, Twitter. You know, there was a ton of news about everybody's going on Twitter. How many of those were legitimate posts or tweets, and how many of those were not? Well, one of the things that everybody complained of is that the internet connection in Iran suddenly was really, really slow.
Huh.
Like a tenth as fast as it was before. So they're talking like a 90% decrease in the speed.
Wow, that is significant.
Well, one of the reasons for that is some U.S. senators, two senators, who want to punish Nokia and Siemens because of what has happened. After hearing about Nokia Siemens' sale of internet monitoring software to Iran, U.S. Senators Schumer and Graham want to bar them from receiving federal contracts. They planned the action after hearing about a joint venture of Nokia of Finland and Siemens AG of Germany that sold a sophisticated internet monitoring system to Iran in 2008. According to NextGov.com, Schumer and Graham's bill would require the Obama administration to identify foreign companies that export sensitive technology to Iran and ban them from bidding on federal contracts or renew expiring ones unless they stop exporting. Now, the thing about it is suddenly they have the ability to basically, it's deep packet inspection.
Sure.
Where they're basically checking everything. They're going through everything. So, I mean, even with hugely powerful servers, I mean, imagine if all of the traffic in America was suddenly being monitored. I mean, the internet would come to a crawl.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
I mean, if they're really checking to see what everything is going on. So that's what was happening in Iran. So
interesting.
Of course,
that would slow it down a bit.
Would slow things down.
It's like having everything kind of run through one last line, one last filter, and that filter is pretty thorough.
So that was a joint venture. They put that in a year ago, and they really haven't used it up to this point. But they said it was working, and they were able to get a lot of information. And it's not about reading, you know, individual emails or that type of thing, so much as reading in general. Mm-hmm. You know, figuring things out in general or trying to see trends and of information that's going through. So everybody just connects to the internet and just sort of assumes that it is what it is. But
that's right.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. If you'd like to ask the computer guys a question here, we'd be happy to help out on this rainy Wednesday afternoon.
Now, Dave, today is the 30th anniversary of something. Do you know what that is?
I do, Kev.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, man, I thought I'd get one over on you.
No, it is the 30th anniversary of the Walkman.
Yes, very true.
Do you know that they use a skateboarder?
I did.
Okay.
Busted.
Came out the year that we were born, Kev.
It's a great thing. The Walkman turns 30 today. So much time has passed. I think PC World, they did a review a couple years ago, 50 greatest gadgets over the past 50 years, and the Walkman was on that list. So that is, I think it's still on that list. Now, really, you know, it's really the predecessor to everything you see today. You know, all the personal music players, any MP3 player, you know, the iPod, the predecessor of that was the Walkman. That was the first one. So, you know, we have to thank Sony for that. Breaking ground.
A lot of changes, obviously, since then. You don't have to put tapes in anymore.
That's true.
Or CDs.
It's a lot easier.
Just all electronic.
Yeah.
Digital. Yeah, 30 years. I'll give quite something.
30 years.
Yep. Imagine where we'll be in another 30.
Man, I can't even tell you the last time I seen somebody with even a portable CD player. I haven't seen anybody use one of those in quite a while. Yeah?
Yeah, I have seen a few. Also, Kev, we've got another one here. Windows 7 is coming out. This is something I think we should talk a little bit about.
Of course.
Right now, Windows Vista has been out, 2.5 years? Has it been that long?
I don't know. I guess. Man, I can't believe it. Has it really been that long?
2.5 years. Wow. Came out in January of 2007.
Crazy.
So anyway, it's been 2.5 years, and everybody made a lot of commentary, we'll say, about Microsoft waiting so long in between releases between XP and Vista. Was a long time. I mean, it was 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
You know, and then when it came, people were nice.
2001.
So there's one. It's been a couple years, but I've seen one. Brent just came rocking into the studio here with his awesome high-tech portable CD player. Yeah. So somebody still has one somewhere, and it's still being used. That's good.
He maybe should have taken him up on the deals last week at ABC Warehouse. He was out there. They have MP3 players there. He could have.
There you go. Could have stepped into the digital age. Oh man.
So anyway, Windows 7 is coming out this fall. Yep. Now there are two things that people should know. Number one, there are some upgrades available right now. If you go to the Microsoft Store online, right, Kev?
Yeah, discounts. Was it actually
$50?
Starting at $50. Yeah. I think it's $50 to $119, basically. But they're doing huge promotions on, basically if you want to buy it in advance. And all you're saying is you're getting your copy now. You don't get it in your hands yet. It's not going to ship until October. But it's a great way to save money if you're somebody who's like, yeah, I do want to upgrade to that. You know, you can go there, and right now there's, you know, good promotion going to basically buy in advance and save yourself some money. So
yep.
you can do that. And that, I think, is through July 11th.
So you've got another week and a half.
You got a small window there.
So the Microsoft Store is selling the upgrades to Windows 7. The upgrade to the Vista Premium, the Home Premium, is what, $50? The upgrade to the Vista Professional?
To 7.
It's
the upgrade to Windows 7.
Premium. Sorry,
yep, 7 so premium. It's a Home Premium. I think it's $50.
The business version to the Professional is, $100?
Hold on a second. I'm going to actually get that link with those.
I'm going to have a hard time calling it Windows 7 instead of Vista.
Yeah. So let's see.
But anyway, Kev, one other medium while you look for that. Microsoft is considering offering Windows 7 on USB thumb drives.
Really? For distribution?
For distribution, yeah.
Wow,
you know how you've always had to buy it on CD or DVD?
Yeah.
Well, right now, Microsoft is considering offering Windows 7 on USB thumb drives to allow netbook owners to upgrade their machines. Windows has, until now, only been distributed on DVDs or via download. However, netbooks don't have optical drives, and the Windows 7 ISO is 2.3 gigabytes, which would take several hours to download on an average broadband connection and potentially do serious damage to a customer's broadband data cap.
Man, that is a lot. That's big.
So 2.3 gigs. So, of course, flash drives, you can get flash drives that are over 2.5 gigs.
Yeah, and relatively inexpensive way to distribute. I mean, not as cheap as the disk, but still pretty cheap. Yeah, it's basically 50% off for everything but the Ultimate. So it's the Windows 7 Home Premium, $49.99. Windows 7 Professional Upgrade is $99.99. And that's 58% off on the Home Premium, 50% off on the Professional, and then the 7 Ultimate Upgrade is not.
Was that $200
right now? Yeah, it's $219.
$219.
So,
if you think you're going to upgrade, Kev?
Yeah, I will.
Right away, or
I might even do it right away.
At home or at work?
Both.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I could see doing the home computer right away.
I think this time I'm going to do it right away. I've messed around with it enough that I like it. I mean, yeah. I might dual boot.
Nah, dual boot.
Just for a little while, just for transition time. But yeah, I know it is. Yeah, I might just jump in.
There you go. At home. Start at home.
No, I'm doing both.
Remember what happened last time you upgraded to Vista and how angry you were right away?
Oh, right away. It was bad. It was just until they got that networking stuff worked out. So that was a little bit of an annoyance.
Yeah, you know, we don't really hear much about that anymore. I've sort of forgotten about
that. They took care of it. I mean, some issues with networking coming out of standby, how quick it was to connect to networks, that type of thing. So every once in a while, you'll see a bit of an issue with it.
In October, Windows 7 is coming out. And if you want now, the discounts are on Microsoft's online store. And I'm sure, Kev, we're going to see a lot of people who do want to upgrade. We haven't seen nearly as many people who would upgrade to Vista. Very few people who would upgrade to Vista from, let's say, XP.
Yep.
But I would imagine once Windows 7 comes out, a lot more people will be upgrading. That's my guess.
I think so.
If you want to see some of Microsoft's strange new ads, have you seen that, Kev?
I haven't checked it out.
Well, Microsoft is always, you know, Apple's got these ads out that are, some people like them. Personally, I don't like them. I think they're kind of mean-spirited. But anyway, a lot of people do like them. Well, Microsoft is a little more, you know, they've got these ads where they go around and buy computers for cheaper than Apple, and that's okay, that's fine.
Okay, I've seen those.
You know, well, they also had the Jerry Seinfeld ads. Those were pretty random.
Yeah, that got pulled.
It did.
That was the problem. I liked that one.
Yeah.
I liked that whole campaign.
Well, now they have Superman, Dean Cain, doing some ads, and they're really, really, really random. And the funny thing is, a lot of people actually really like these ads or are really giving Microsoft a lot of credit. Because they're so much different than kind of, you know, Microsoft has always been known as the sort of like the business.
Yeah, you'd expect dorky ads.
Yeah.
So.
So anyway, there are some odd new ads. Let's just say that.
Well,
for Internet Explorer. That's the ads for Internet Explorer.
8, oh, okay.
Version 8.
Okay.
Not just for Windows, but specifically for Internet Explorer 8. So I emailed that link to you earlier.
Yep. I haven't gotten around to that one yet.
Well,
soon enough.
Also, Kev, Lenovo, it used to be IBM as far as computers go. IBM sold to Lenovo, a Chinese company, 4 or 5 years ago, 3 years.
It's probably about
time goes
about
fast.
4 years ago.
Anyway, after a year's research, Lenovo has decided the time is right to install larger delete and escape keys on their updated ThinkPad laptop T400s.
Wow.
While it's a small change, it's fairly radical to tinker with an area of hardware that has been largely unchanged since the 19th century. What convinced them to make the size change was doing some tests on users to see which keys they use the most. They found that on average, people use the escape and delete keys 700 times per week.
Okay, I'm a little amazed by the escape one.
Yet those were the only non-letter keys that Lenovo has not made any bigger.
I can't think of that many times where I actually use the escape key. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What do you use it for?
Oh, message pops up on the window or...
Interesting.
I use it more than you might think.
I think so.
But, you know, the backspace or delete, use that all the time.
Yeah, you know, backspace,
although I have to say, that's a big button. I'm a pretty good typer, so I typist.
Oh, yeah? So you don't ever make mistakes?
I never have to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll install a little keylogger.
The space bar is huge.
Yeah, backspace is big. Delete's kind of small. Delete's even smaller. I'm looking on mine over here on my laptop. Delete's actually a little smaller than the escape key, so... Well, now they're getting some extra.
The delete key. No, a lot of people don't even know what that does.
I know.
Somebody
the other day was talking about it, and they were amazed at what was happening on the screen. And they said, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm using the delete key. They were somebody who always goes to the end of what it was and then backspaced over it. So,
yep. The backspace deletes things to the left of the blinking cursor, and delete deletes things to the right.
Yep. So if you've never done it, try it out.
If you, in fact, want to delete something, if you just want to test it out.
Yeah.
I use both. Mm-hmm. Of course, Kev, you know I like to use the keyboard.
You do, you do like to use the keyboard whenever possible. I do see that. So.
Well, Kev, let's take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to the Computer Guys on 1450 WHDC.
Thanks to Mom and Dad, I learned to ski at a young age. We'd spend all day out in the cold snow under a warm sun. It remains my favorite childhood memory. Mom and Dad are gone now, but the family tradition lives on, and my children are getting better every year.
Honoring family memories. It's what we do at the Dykstra Life Story Funeral Homes.
Grandma always invited us over when it was time for Buddy's bath. Only Grandma can make it so much fun. She gave each of us an important job, but I think she enjoyed our company more than our help. I don't know if Buddy ever cut clean, but we sure made some great memories with Grandma.
Honoring family memories. It's what we do at the Dykstra Life Story Funeral Homes.
Get a jump start on your nutrition this summer. Change the way you approach eating and physical activity. Tune into Wellspring on July 2nd when Angela Fobar, a registered dietitian at Zealand Community Hospital, will tell you about a 4-week nutrition jumpstart program being offered at ZCH beginning July 14th. She'll also give you some tools to start a healthy, active lifestyle. Listen to Wellspring, sponsored by Zealand Community Hospital, every Thursday at 11:10 a.m. on 1450 WHDC, your hometown station.
1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station, wants you to know that it's not all bad news out there. In fact, there's a lot of good things happening in the Holland-Zeeland area. And joining us today is the marketing specialist for Michigan Works and the Community Action Agency, Mike Stock. So, Mike, what's the good news?
We do have some great things happening at Michigan Works. One push that we are doing this summer is called the Summer Youth Employment Program. And we received some funding this summer to put youth to work. They're at-risk youth, and they are from all over Ottawa County, and we have set up work sites around the county. We have put, I think, today 450 of these youth to work at about 200 to 250 work sites around the county.
So the next time someone tells you that it's all doom and gloom out there, you remind them that there's a lot of organizations here in the Holland-Zeeland area that are still doing good work. This good news moment brought to you by Holland's hometown station, 1450 WHTC.
Are you running on empty?
Welcome back. You are listening to The Computer Guys with Dave and Kevin here on 1450 WHTC. If you've got any questions for us, we'd love to hear from you, 395-1450, or send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com.
That's right. You can always send it to there.
Kev, I was just discussing during the break here. Bing.
Bing.
Microsoft's new search engine. Well, it's not really new. Let's be honest. It's live.com.
Come on. They reinvented it. It's new. We're going to call it new.
We were discussing it yesterday. Yep. It's really not new. It's just different. And even then, not much.
You can call anything you want.
But what the Microsoft
has been
doing.
Once you have a new look, it's new. It's a decision engine.
So what's the name of your new hair then?
It's a decision engine. It's called
the K2?
The summer style.
The summer style.
Yep.
So there you go. Microsoft's new Bing search engine gained U.S. market share in its first month in operation, but still trails dominant rival Google, according to data released today.
Come on. Do you really have to say that? Of course they still trail.
Well, of course. But get this. Bing, which launched on June 3, took 8.3% of U.S. web searches in June, up from 7.81%. So a 0.5% increase.
Keep creeping up. Look at that.
Well, you know, that's how Firefox did it with their share of internet browsing.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to its rollout, it was 7.2% in April.
You know, it's got some really cool features. Just the standard search side of it, it's okay. It's not earth-shattering. But if you go into the video section, one of the coolest things is if you just roll over a video, it starts playing.
Really?
You don't have to click it. It'll start playing real time. You get audio and you get actual video of decent quality playing. It's like this instant preview. It's fantastic. So that's one of the really strong parts about it. So hey, let's go ahead and take this call.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi. I have a little quirk in my computer when I want to save in favorites. If I want to save to a folder that I've already established, it won't save to it. If I want to add it to create a new folder, new name, then it will add to it.
Are you on Vista or XP?
I'm on Vista.
You're on Vista.
Now, these files, like let's say you create a new directory and then you save something in it and then you go back later and try and create something and add it to that folder. Does it work then?
Yes.
Okay. Now, by any chance, the folders that are in your favorites, were those copied over from another computer?
Not from another computer, but I had lost files. And so I brought it in and had them find them again somehow. However they did it, I have no idea. But anyway, they reestablished all my files and all my...
Yeah, they didn't set the permissions correctly.
Okay.
And this is a bit of an issue, basically, where if the permissions aren't set correctly, that's what you're going to find. You can't make changes to those files because you don't have the proper access to it.
Okay.
So basically, those need to be restored with the correct permissions for you to be able to add to them or manipulate files that already exist there.
Okay.
So I don't know, wherever you brought it in, you could potentially bring it in and say, hey, this isn't working right, or, you know, that's something we could take care of for you, too. But that's probably what's going on.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, okay, this is something I'm less familiar with was Vista, but if you right-click on that folder and just go to Properties... A lot of times it'll be set to like a read only.
Well, yeah, but this is the problem is
it probably came from another user.
You have to set the properties for that top level folder, but that won't carry all the way down unless you really go into the advanced settings. There's an easier way to do it is basically to remove what's there and then drop it in again, and then it'll reset the permissions. So that's probably what I'd recommend. But I've seen that before.
Not the most common problem.
Nope.
But definitely annoying. Also, Kev. After we talked here about Bing, Microsoft search engine gaining share, we talk a lot about how people are watching TV or videos online. Like you were just mentioning with Bing, you can roll over the video and it'll just start playing automatically. Well, get this. A big shift has taken place for the digital age. Ad rates for popular shows like The Simpsons and CSI are higher online than they are on primetime TV.
Wow.
If a company wants to run ads alongside an episode of The Simpsons on Hulu or TV.com, it will cost the advertiser about $60 per 1,000 viewers, according to Bloomberg. On primetime TV, that same ad will cost somewhere between $20 and $40 per 1,000 viewers. Online viewers have to actively seek out the program they want to watch, so advertisers end up with a guaranteed audience for their commercial every time someone clicks play on Hulu or TV.com.
That's interesting.
Online programs also have an average of 37 seconds of commercials during an episode, while primetime TV averages 9 minutes of ads.
Yeah. I mean, that is one nice thing. If you are watching something on Hulu, the other thing is, depending on what site you're watching it on, often, let's say you're watching an hour-long program. So you're going to get actually, 47 minutes of actual, if it aired on TV, it's going to be an hour long with all the commercials and everything. So you're watching it, you get 45, 47 minutes. Well, you watch that same commercial sometimes 6 or 7 times throughout the same broadcast. It's the same commercial every single time. First couple times, it's kind of funny, but by the end, it starts to get annoying. So I don't know how that factors into advertising, but I don't like that. If you're listening, advertisers, I don't like that.
It's kind of like when I tell the same joke.
I know.
Every day.
It's not funny. By the
time.
End of the week, I'm like, Dave, you got to stop. Right. This is ridiculous.
Carl doesn't like my monkey joke anymore. Did you hear that joke yesterday?
I'm not sure I did.
Oh, it's a great one. It's a long one. I have to tell it to you.
All right.
Back.
All right. You sure you don't want to?
It's a completely clean joke.
Do you want to share it on the air?
No, it's long. It would take.
Okay. Maybe next week we could dedicate the whole show to your jokes.
We'll see.
And we'll do a special joke show.
We'll see what the listeners say. Also, Kev, here, more news about Google and also Facebook.
Sure.
This is something I really, when you think of Google, you think of searching. When you think of Facebook, you think of people sending messages and doing status updates and posting pictures. Well, there's a story that's running at Wired that goes into the ongoing struggle between Google and Facebook. I didn't even know there was a struggle between the two, but apparently there is. They're battling to establish their competing visions for the future of the internet.
Whoa. I didn't know Facebook was in the running for establishing the future of the internet.
Jeff, for the last decade or so, the web has been defined by Google's algorithms, rigorous and efficient equations that parse practically every byte of online activity to build an atlas for the online world. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg envisions a more personalized, humanized web where our network of friends, colleagues, peers, and family is our primary source of information, just as it is offline. In Zuckerberg's vision, users will query this social graph to find a doctor, the best camera, or someone to hire, rather than tapping the cold mathematics of a Google search. It is a complete rethinking of how we navigate the online world, one that places Facebook right at the center.
I want both.
In other words, right now, where Google is.
Interesting.
Well, you could probably have both. But, that's a really interesting way to think of it. Because, Google, you just type in something and it just results. And we sort of trust that they're true. But let's be honest. Like, when you need a service done for your house or you need to buy a product. Now, maybe, Kev, you're a little different than the average person. But the average person would, I'll probably ask friends, coworkers.
Oh, yeah, I want a recommendation. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the thing, too. When you're, like, let's say you're even buying a product, they've built personal reviews into almost any online marketplace now. So when you go buy something, you 500 different reviews of that product and what the people think. Now, the part about that I don't like is you can manufacture that. You can have people who are paid by that company to give great reviews. That's annoying to me. But, like, when you find that real review that talks about the good and the bad, I feel much better about the product I'm buying having read the personal review than just the specs.
So what they're hoping here through Facebook is that somehow you might, through your Facebook account, post reviews or allow information.
That's pretty Facebook-centric.
Or even to say, just to throw it up on your Facebook page, say, looking for a new camera, what do you guys think?
Yeah. I could see that.
And then
that
says,
might be reason
this.
Enough for me to get a Facebook account. If it went that direction,
oh my goodness,
I would do it.
What a way to end the show. That's unbelievable.
I know. I haven't done it yet. I'm still holding out.
Wow.
But hey, if Facebook takes over the world, maybe I'll have to get one too. So anyway, the music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in, you can always check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that is type WHTC into the Apple iTunes music store and listen to our show, old shows, or anything you want. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again for everybody who tuned in. We'll be back next week, Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1 with the Computer Guys.